He's like, you're going to get so much shit. And if you're going to get shit for it, you might as well do a full naked video. And I'm like, shut up.
Today we had on the wolf of real estate, Erica Wolf. She talks about how she started on video with Snapchat filters, how she mastered digital funnels, and the effects of her viral naked listing video.
The Broke Agent presents Overask Podcast.
Erica, the big bad wolf of real estate.
The big bad
wolf. I've known you for a second now, and I'm so excited that you're here today.
I mean, I love that you're saying you knew me for a second, because I was fangirling really hard on you for several years. So I appreciate
really?
That.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, that's amazing. Hear that, Eric?
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. I've never heard those words from Erica, but that's completely fine.
We're going to get right into it here because, A, you probably work in the coolest sounding place of all time, Jupiter, Florida. And I will say this, you put Jupiter on the map for me because I had no clue what it was before. Big Bad Wolf. So congratulations. You've sold over $500 million of real estate. Erica, for people who may not know you, can you kind of tell us a little bit about the Big Bad Wolf? How'd you get here?
All right. So they keep calling me the Big Bad Wolf, but it's Wolf of Real Estate on all platforms. It's a play on words, obviously, or Wolf of Wall Street, Wolf of Real Estate. 15 years in the industry, a couple, I guess, viral videos or topical and rumor milled videos. But I am a grinder. I work hard. I have two kids, 17 and almost 14. I'm a workaholic, and I actually really like selling homes, and I was born and raised in Jupiter, and I love where I live, and I'll never live anywhere else. So that's kind of it for me.
15 years in the business, you said. So how did you first get started? Why real estate?
So I actually, as a teen, worked at a bank, believe it or not, in Jupiter. They hire teenagers to work at banks. And, so I did that as a teller, and then transferred over to insurance. I don't even know why, but I did. And then I started seeing settlement statements, and I was like, oh, I can make a lot more in real estate. And so in 2008, I just thought it was like a genius idea to get into real estate. And I ended up working for a short sale foreclosure attorney. And my first year, like, we obviously split everything, and it's a little, that's a whole nother story for another day. But I think my first year I ended up like 125 deals, but I didn't market or handle any of them. It was all through a foreclosure and short sale attorney. You know what I'm saying? So I used my license. I handled the MLS. Like, I did all of that. Then I was posting on Craigslist back then too, because he told me if I got my own deals, I could keep more of the commission. So I was posting on Craigslist, got a couple investors. And then after, it must've been like 2010, these investors were like, we'll just stick with you if you leave. I had shitty splits. You know what I mean? With this guy, like, obviously it was all his business, and I was 21 and working it. So, couple Canadians, Toronto, investors. And so far with them to date, I have bought and sold 78 properties with them. And they were my first clients, and he became one of my mentors that actually, like, gave me books to read and told me it'd be cool if I was smart and things like that. It really took me under his wing. And I just worked hard. Worked all day while kids were at school, then when kids were not at school, was doing the kid thing, and then went back to work when they went to bed, right? Just like trying to find investment properties, learning about cap rates. Like, I ended up being their property manager for free. Don't recommend that, by the way.
That's not a fun position.
But no. Leave it to a Canadian to convince me to do that, though.
Yeah. Right. Well, because we're so nice.
You're so nice. So... and then honestly, I just feel like I got an ad on Facebook, joined some sales groups, and started learning about digital funnels and videos and marketing. And the only reason I started doing video was because that's the best way to retarget your audience, when you're doing paid advertisements online. So, it really was a snowball effect. I've never been scared to work.
Yeah. So 125 deals you kind of facilitated your first year. How much, what's your average price in Jupiter? Or what was your average price at the time?
oh, at the time, like the short sales were so messed up and all the things. So you like, I, there were homes I never even went into when I was listing them. Right. So like if I'm, I don't even know the exact volume of that. I don't count that in my volume now because I kind of feel like it was his. And some deals were 20%, some were 30%, some were 50% based upon whatever the short sales or foreclosures were doing. But it was just very computer-based, data-based, you know, like that's what I was doing for him. But Facebook was huge and it's like, what are you doing now? I'm like plugging in properties on the MLS. Like, you know, and I just started like telling people what I was doing every day and people started listening. And then again, the Craigslist thing, and it kind of, it was weird. It happened by accident. This truly happened by accident.
So the Craigslist posting, was this a common form of marketing back in, I guess you said 2008, because now if you post something on Craigslist, you're basically a creep.
Yeah, you're a complete creep.
Yeah, like if you're, maybe you do that if you're looking for a roommate, which is creepy in itself if you have to do that on Craigslist at this point. So what was your thought process behind that? And
like, so if what I have a buyer, I got 70% of the commission. Mm-hmm. So I already have all the data and information. So I was just like had another tab open and I'm just putting it in. Right. And I put my cell phone number in like two pictures. And if somebody called and I could represent them, I could make more money. Like that was it. And I was, Facebook groups weren't even around. The for sale wasn't around at that time. I think it was like 2 years after the group started. And I was just driven to make more money. Like I had two children to provide for. I'm in my 20s. Like, I just worked.
So yeah. So that was 2010 when you started realizing, okay, I can get more commission if I bring the buyer. And then when did you eventually go out on your own?
So it was then it start was building 2010 that I actually did go out on my own. So I had known before I could get more with the buyers anyways. But 2010, my investors were like, no, we'll stick with you like if you leave. Right.
Okay.
And then they gave me a $20 million fund to go buy homes with.
Jesus.
Yeah. And so I just was convincing them to buy stuff.
Yeah.
This is such a unique story.
Yeah.
Like,
but
Eric, did you get a $20 million fund to buy anything?
No, I haven't bought anything.
Oh.
So, well, no, absolutely. Well,
maybe you should reach out to Erica.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She knows what she's doing. And the 70 properties you bought and sold.
That's still to this day. Like I still work with them. And right now they're under contract on a $3 million home with me that they're buying new build. So like I've worked my way up with them, but before it was like, you know, we were buying $30,000, $40,000 properties back then. And it kind of just worked its way up. I have a great story with him. There's this place called Jupiter Island Colony. It's where Kid Rock lives in Jupiter. It's this little island. And, you know, when you're in a down market, rich people, like people of wealth, don't actually sell their properties, right? Like, why would they sell for a loss? But there was this estate property and it was run down, but I didn't have any comps for it, right? No comps. And I think our offer was like 1.72. They had it listed at 1.8. And I was like, you guys just need to go to 1.8 on it. And at the time, this would have been one of my like largest sales. And they were not biting like at all. They're like, you don't have the comps. I'm like, just trust me. Well, last year just traded just land for $16 million.
Oh my God.
And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't listen. But so I even have a spreadsheet on like the properties I was pitching that they didn't take. I like to show them that if they would have listened, here's what you would have gotten.
Really dig it in.
Yeah. Or showing value also. But yeah, that would be a nightmare to see that. That's like showing that you could have bought Bitcoin at, you know, $400 and now showing it at whatever it is today, $22,300. Not that I checked right before the podcast, but
yeah, I was gonna say he's checking right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm doing in the computer. Erica, so you're big on digital funnels, digital advertising, paid advertising with video. So what was your first move on social? Obviously, you've done the viral videos, you know, last couple of years, but So after Craigslist, onto Facebook, what was kind of your first move? Because it seems like you were super early to the digital realm from a real estate perspective. What were you doing on social, Facebook, 2010, 2011?
I started really utilizing the groups and posting properties that way. But I felt like I had to keep it somewhat professional on those. And Snapchat came out, what, I think 2012?
Yep.
And I started just making fun of agents. And everyone says you shouldn't. But like, only my friends were seeing me on Snapchat, right? And then I made my profile public on there. And I was using the different filters back then, like to be an old lady, to be a man, to be like all these different people with the filters. And like, if I just had an interaction, how I would tell a story, I just created, like spliced a video together in Snapchat. And people started messaging me, my friends, like, this is like hilarious. This is amazing. Like, you need to start posting these on Facebook. And I'm like, no, I'm professional. You know, like, I don't want to do that. And so I did start posting some that I thought were okay. But then people knew on Snapchat, they could find my like more off the walls kind of videos. And when I made my profile public, somebody I didn't know ended up buying a house for me on Snapchat that I didn't actually ever meet and ask for proof of funds. And it was legit. And we closed and it was like a $600,000 house. And I was like, you guys, this works. Like,
yeah.
This works, like telling stories. And no one else was really doing it at the time. Like, obviously I didn't start it, but it was just using filters and all of that. And then at the same time, just because I like tech, I was learning about funnels. I was learning about digital ads. I was learning about sales. Like, I'm always an educational person. And then, like I had previously said, videos are the easiest way to retarget, right? So what videos do we go informational? Do we go storytelling? Do we go proof of success? Meaning like, hey, I just sold this house or this house is for sale. And like, I could start pitching marketing and I would start running ads on those as well. So it was kind of two part. I kind of feel like I have two different personalities, like my business personality and like, but I'm actually kind of fun, you guys. Like, let's have some fun and make some good laughs and like a little peek behind the curtain. And I just rolled with it and it kept working.
When you were running those ads, what was the most effective? Was it the edutainment, education style, the success videos, or what were you finding those getting the most conversions and clicks?
Well, back before they started all the fair housing regulations, I could literally track based upon people's income levels, interest without any, you know, rules and guidelines of discrimination, I guess is the best way to put it. So certain houses, I would only put them in front of people that I knew could qualify for the mortgage or have the cash for those homes. Right. So it was a lot of listing videos, but not like the fancy, you know, Brad McCollum or whatever style videos. Like, I'm talking just like, it would be my phone showing it. And this is how it all started. Right. And then like local business features, hey, I love this business, giving back to them, showing a coffee shop, showing a sub shop, like whatever that is. And then just location based. So the three of those were my best. And then I'd say only within the last 3 years, I started adding in market updates to them. So the whole point is, you know, I typically start with a location or a neighborhood video. If you watch more than 10% of that video, you're then retargeted with this video, right? If you watch X amount of that video, then you see my next video. And that's the whole premise for me. And I like to do funnels in 5 video stages is how I typically run them. And I've always stayed small. So Jupiter is in northern Palm Beach County. And Palm Beach County is, you know, from like Boca to Jupiter where we are. I only used to stay in a 10-mile radius. Now, due to Facebook regulations, it's a 15-mile radius, but I never tried to go outside. Obviously, I understand going outside, but it was just so much easier to stay in such a small radius.
Yeah. Facebook ads back then were the Wild West in 2012, 2013. I remember running them when I first started the Broke Agent. You could literally pinpoint exactly who you wanted to find your ads. Yeah. And I mean, I understand with the regulations and everything now, like anytime you run any sort of real estate ad, you have to run it through the guidelines of Facebook. It always gets rejected. Then you have to go through like a review process. It's kind of a nightmare now, but I understand where that's coming from. And I love that you started on Snapchat, your comedy, because that's kind of where I started also. That's the first place I started showing my face. So on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, that was all the inner monologue, just screenshotting tweets. But Snapchat, I did the exact same thing that you did. I did the filters and we do all these different characters and post them nowhere besides Snapchat. And then with Snapchat stories. And then I uploaded a couple to Instagram and they did really well. I actually re-uploaded one like 4 or 5 months ago, but it was so fun to play with those features on Snapchat. That was like the OG filters, storying, everything. So much content has stemmed from that and learning that platform.
I appreciate that so much, because when I try to tell people now Snapchat, they're like, oh, you're on Snapchat. I'm like, not secret Snapchat, like publicly open Snapchat,
I think Eric was on secret Snapchat. I think he was on the secret one by accident and he was showing his face and everyone was like, I think he's banned.
Nobody was seeing it.
I don't think he's got one anymore. For a second. Yeah. Literally had my wife, I think Dan O'Neill and,
So you're on relatively recently.
Yeah. I didn't know what to do. I would download it and then get like a filter that everyone was doing. And then I'd download it because it turned you into a Disney character once.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about doing a Disney skit where I like did a Disney song for real estate and then I never did it. But yeah, this isn't about my Snapchat, Eric. This is about Erica. And I want to get into how you go from Snapchat filters to, you know, doing these Facebook ads with your listing videos just on your phone to the video where I found you, where you open the door and you are completely naked and you're showing the house completely naked. You're blurred out, but fully naked and just showing the house. I think you had a big deck joke in there. Mm-hmm. It was very clever.
Lots of
how do you get there? And what does that do for your business?
So for me, it was you were in RETV was like huge for me. So that was, I think, 2018 to 2020. But before short form video really started, it was all like the long form. So RETV on Facebook really, really, really helped me with a lot of those. And obviously, as you progress in, you know, making more commissions and making more money, you're like, okay, well, I can make better videos than this. But when you're stuck in your own area and only watching what the other agents are doing, you're very limited, especially if you're, you know, progressive in tech and whatever's going on. So being in other Facebook groups with real estate agents who are doing more and better than me, right? And maybe in more like city, urban areas, you're like, ooh, that's really nice. That's really good. So I started just like constantly wanting to level up. Like, what's the next move? What's the next move? So I was actually shot a 5-acre property and the house was horrible. And I was trying to think of who the buyer avatars are. So I did a scene where, you know, equestrian. I did a scene where it was like automotive working on a car, a hunter, like shooting a bow. And then I did a nudist scene. Right. And I knew I was like pushing the envelope with it. So I ended up sending it to Tim Macy and Colin Cameron. And Colin calls me immediately and he goes, remove that scene immediately. And I go, that bad, huh? And he goes, no, Erica, like you're going to get so much shit for this. I'm like, I know, that's why I sent it. Like, what do you guys think? He's like, you're going to get so much shit. And if you're going to get shit for it, you might as well do a full naked video. And I'm like, shut up. And he's like, yeah. Like go full pun, go lean in on it and just go all in. He's like, do you have a house? I'm like, actually, I'm shooting a house tomorrow. And it's probably the only person on the entire planet that would allow me to shoot a naked video at their house. And so we did it. That was why. It was only supposed to be like a 4-second clip in a different home tour. And because I was nervous about it, I sent it and it became what it was. The best part about it was when it was posted, agents were so mean to me. It was like, either you loved it or you absolutely hated it. And the people who hated it were on me in the comment section. I mean, bad. Well, the owner of it was at my defense. The owner of the home was at my defense like no other. Name calling, playing in the mud, like going through their profile pictures and making fun of them. And I'm like, oh my God, you have to stop. Like, you're making it worse. And she's like, no, it was amazing. It was amazing. You got me multiple offers. And like, the house is shit. Like, the house is horrible.
If there's anyone you want to come to your defense, it is the seller of the property that you're marketing. So that's got to be, you know, vindicating from that perspective. What were people saying? Were they just saying this is unprofessional, or so like what sort of attacks were they firing?
I'm allowed to say like everything, right?
Yeah. Yes, they say anything.
Okay, it's not so PC, but like basically I created rape and I'm the reason women get raped was what a lot of older real estate women were telling me. And I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure that existed before, but thanks, I won't sleep tonight because now you think that. Yeah.
Not the angle I thought people were going to say.
No, I didn't think that. Yeah.
Okay, you don't like it. Move on. Like, I just didn't realize, you know. But there's so much positive that actually came out from that video. Would I ever do another? No, because like it would never top. Like, the number twos are never as good, right? Like, it just couldn't be it. And then wasn't there a guy that got fired?
David Freeze, yeah, we had him on the podcast. Yeah. He didn't do videos. He did a naked listing shoot. So, and then he got tossed from Compass. And we had him on the podcast right after that too. So I think, I don't think that one was well received. But
maybe I'll try it.
Yeah, exactly. I think we should keep trying it. But you're right. You created something so viral and so effective, but also so extreme that it is hard to top that. So it's like, do you ever find yourself trying to come up with different marketing to get that virality again? Or are you not concerned because you're selling so much real estate, it doesn't matter?
The whole you can't spell America without Erica. That's the only reason I actually learned how to spell America, by the way, in elementary school, was because you just add AM in front of your own name, you know?
Right.
But the slogan came from because the year after I tried to sell a trailer. Right. And I was like smoking cigarettes in it, hair and rollers, cut off shorts, like all of that. The public, like the consumers in my area, thought it was hilarious and loved it. The real estate world's like, she's a tryhard, you know? Like at that point, you realize like that's a one hit wonder. So like, I don't think I'm ever going to go in it trying to top that, because that's not what makes me money.
Everyone stop for a second. This market is a little bit tighter than it has been in the past few years, which means leads are not necessarily banging down the door. But you know who isn't worried right now? Agents who use Boomtown, the number one rated real estate CRM in the game.
That's right. Boomtown was actually founded in 2008, Eric. Do you know that?
Yeah, the same year the Phillies won the World Series against the Rays. How could I forget?
I'll take your word for it. In the middle of a housing crisis, their CEO, Greer Allen, built it from the ground up with the explicit intention of empowering agents to be successful no matter the market. So if you're ready to build a truly bulletproof business, visit boomtownroi.com/overask. Plus, see how you can score 750 big ones in free digital advertising. That's boomtownroi.com/overask.
Yeah, so that was the next kind of direction I wanted to take this is, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Jupiter clientele, kind of more baby boomers, older demographic, how do they receive this type of marketing? And then how are you adjusting your marketing to reach a demo of, I don't know, 60s, 70s, and the people that are buying these $4 million, $5 houses in Florida?
So kind of two parts on this, because I am a native. And when you get down to our area specifically, we were like an old commercial fishing village. It wasn't until celebrities started moving here in the early 2000s that we actually became on the map, because we have aqua water and we're only an hour and like 20 minutes by boat to the Bahamas. So it's, you know, a real nice place to actually live and enjoy life. The general public loved it. And that was what was funny about that particular video, was the people who hated it were real estate agents. They're not, you know, paying my bills. The general public was like, wow, she worked really hard on this. Like, I would love for somebody to give a tenth of that energy to sell my home, right? So I didn't have backlash around that. Now the pivot for me is our price point right now, our average price point is up to like 1.18, I think last week was our average price point in our town. We have homes that sell for 100 million. And then I think our cheapest one, home, single family home, not condo, not townhouse, is like 457. So it is a, it is an expensive place to live. And that's where I started really leaning into like the location, right? How do I do nicer tours? Like Jesse Yerxa was helpful in this, and like wardrobe with wearing more suits. Like how, if I want to be in the nicer homes, how do I pivot to get in front of those people? Because I believe I market in my area, I market homes more, I don't want to say better, like harder than—
We'll say it for you, better.
Yeah, than anyone else. Like no one else is running the digital ads, plus all the mailers, plus, you know, circle dialing, plus door knocking, plus. Like that's not in their marketing plans, but it is in ours. So that's the biggest thing. And actually with my coach and Tom Ferry, we've been working at is getting my price point up over the last year. And right now I am averaging a price point of 3.5 million. So it has been working, and it's just been pivoting to location, lifestyle, and showcasing the house in a kind of classier way, right?
Are you still kind of known for that video? Is it—
oh, yeah.
Has it hurt you at all?
No,
going like, up into this higher price point?
No, they freaking love it. They freaking love it. They like literally the first thing— I was at a wedding last night, and the bride's mom is like, "You have to meet Erica. Let me show you Erica's video." And I'm like, "Winnie."
Okay. Oh, right in front of you?
Huh?
That's—
no, she's
right in front of you.
Showing people, but they live in a community where the homes like are selling for $20, $30, $40 million, and she's showing her friends this video. And I'm like, "Okay, this isn't part of my plan, but I'm going to embrace it." And like, "I love this, Winnie. I love this." Yes. And she's like, "She's amazing. You're going to love her. Like, she's authentic. She's great. And she's funny. And like, she's smart too, you know?" And it's just like, so I don't know how bad it hurts me, because guess what? If people are going to talk bad, they're going to do it behind my back. They're not actually going to like do it in front of me. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, my bank account has never been hurting from it.
Yeah. And people are talking about it. I mean, it's years later and it's still a topic of conversation. And if you're comparing realtors in Jupiter, Florida, and your name pops up and someone says, "Oh, that's the realtor that did the viral naked video," as a potential seller or buyer, I'm like, sick. And I would love to talk to this person, because that's actually an intriguing form of content. And you're so right when you said a lot of the backlash came from just realtors and that the general public loved it. Because the general public is not offended by that stuff. It's realtors who have to, you know, put on this like faux, like moral superiority just to say something, just to feel better about themselves for the fact that they didn't come up with something, or just be like, "Oh, that's unprofessional. This is making our industry look bad." It's like, no, you're making our industry look bad by not doing anything that's interesting.
Your job.
Yeah. The average, like, to actually be concerned about that and how that looks to other realtors to me is just such a foreign concept when they lack the appreciation for something that has gotten you an enormous amount of business, is something that people are talking about. And you just said these are $40 million clients that are showing and parading you around a wedding last night. And this is a video you posted years ago. So there is so something to be said about these creating these viral videos still. I know we've kind of gone back and forth on no more edutainment, more education stuff, but—
well,
now
I would say here's my issue with it. Social media, Google, none of them will let me run ads on that video or retarget based upon that video because of the content and the words in the description of it. Now, I feel like if they would allow me to, I could probably be, you know, utilizing that a little better and, you know, showing those people, "Okay, she did that video, but she just did this amazing, you know, $5 million home tour or something," right? So it's like, okay, she gave us a peek behind the curtain and now this. So that's like, it's not a regret because it's nothing I have control of, but I guess I wish that I could, you know, take advantage of it a little bit more on the paid advertisement side.
Yeah. I think it shows like how diverse you can be, though, which is pretty cool. Like, if someone, I mean, someone may want a video in that kind of more creative style. Someone may want just something super polished, and you can do it all. Your bank account is proving you can do it all.
Matt, you probably get this too. Like, you know, you go through creative slumps, right? Where you just can't be creative, and but you still need to utilize your marketing plan on this home like you promised your sellers, right? And I get sellers who are like, I thought you were going to do like a funny video or like a little better video. And I'm like, well, you know, I've really thought about your buyer avatar on this property, and here's typically what your buyer's going to be. So I created a video, you know, to them is how I always have to flip it. But it's always funny to me even now, like, because there were multiple funny off, you know, the cuff videos that I did when they say they wish I would have done something funnier.
That's a good script, though, to kind of pivot away from that. I mean, the buyer avatar, I like that. Like, this is the buyer who's going to be, you know, you want to target the correct buyer. Like, a fun video is great, but if it's not going to do anything for the sale of your home, then why am I doing it?
What is the video that you would create for the avatar of the baby boomer purchaser for a $4 million house that's in their
lifestyle? Okay. Like concierge service, lifestyle of like boat, beach, valet everywhere, you know, wine at 11 a.m. Like that, yeah, is a carefree, warm sunshine. And that's really where, especially over the last year, our content has gotten in on is like just showing our waterways so much more. And for me, because I'm just used to them, I just didn't realize I should be showcasing it as much, but it really is helping, because when you look at where people are coming from, it's the Northeast or California, and like they're escaping cold, and like, that's what they're looking for. A big part is when we get phone calls from people up north, it's either Naples or Jupiter, right? Like those are the two deciding factors. And I have yet to, so if anybody's listening and beats me to the punch, you're welcome. Just send me like a royalty check for it, please. Is a Naples versus Jupiter video, because they're very similar, but still very different. Like our beaches are different. Our restaurants are different. There's multiple things that are different.
I love that. A town versus town. You should do Byron versus you.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I don't think Byron's into the...
If I have to choose Byron or Erica, I'm going to Jupiter all day long.
You know what's doing Jupiter wonders right now? Not that it needs it, but the...
Erica?
Netflix, Erica, of course. Yeah. The Netflix documentary Full Swing. Have you seen this? So it's following the golfers. And obviously Jupiter, I think Tiger Woods lives there. It's a huge golf destination. So many golfers live there and train there. And they show Brooks Koepka's house and the waterways, like you're mentioning. What's with the face? You know, you don't like Brooks Koepka?
I don't know. Okay, so I don't do sports.
Okay.
So
you're talking about like, Kid Rock, Eric, not Brooks.
I'm just saying, like, from an agent perspective, if I'm hearing this, like, okay, Netflix is showcasing the city, it might be cool to do a green screen on it, or say like, hey, if everyone's watching this documentary Full Swing and you're seeing Brooks Koepka's house, I got a listing right down the street right here or something like that.
So I know athletes only based upon their homes in Jupiter. I don't know who is. I will look up, but like Ricky Fowler lives in our town. Yep. Hurdy's great. Jason Aldean 2 weeks ago got up on stage at one of our tiki bars, 'cause he lives here now. And you know, of course, Tiger Woods, Celine Dion, Joe Namath. Like we have
Celine, Celine.
That's the name you got excited about? Tiger Woods, Joe Namath.
I'm Canadian. What do you mean?
Celine's his icon.
Got it.
I have her framed above my bed.
That's ridiculous.
So, have you worked with these people?
Huh?
Have you worked with these people?
No.
Some of them?
No.
Celine. Kid.
Celine's house was amazing. I've been in Kid Rock's house.
Nice. That's such a crazy thing to just say.
Let me name drop that. Let me pick it up. No, so I did learn athletes. Like I've had a couple agent friends come in town who are big sports fans and they want to see the homes. So we go on a little driving tour and like they try to guess the value and then I tell them whose house it is and they lose their mind. But like I'm just not a sports person. I never have been. So
yeah, I do feel like that it is such a good selling point to just say that sort of thing. Like when you're driving around, like you said, and say, hey, that's Tiger Woods' house. Like in LA specifically, if I was showing buyers around a town, I could be like, oh, that's, you know, Jodie Foster lives right there. Or, you know, Joe Pesci, you know, lived down the street from here.
But I've never put him out in a crowd. Okay.
Like, that's so full of shit. I've never said any of that. But I feel like that would be something that someone would do.
I mean, I could tell you their names and tell you what their house looks like, could never tell you what their face looks like. So,
right.
Yeah.
Secret.
Do you do that on?
If any celebrities are listening to this and want to use me, I literally would have no idea if you're an athlete. Like, so exclusive. No one would say a word about it. Just buy a house for me.
Yeah. Brooks Koepka, Tiger Woods, if you're listening to the Over Ass podcast with Matt and myself, Erica is your agent.
Yes, 100%. Erica, do you do that on video? I feel like that'd be a good video of you driving around Jupiter, showing people where, not showing them where they live, but, you know, Tiger Woods is here, blah, blah, blah. I think it's just like an intriguing kind of video for people to watch.
Yeah.
Jodie Foster.
Come in town, from Christoph Chu does a lot of his Beverly Hills driving tours, right? So I did all of them, and they're just sitting on a SD card, you know?
Yeah.
Put them out.
Never seen the light of day.
I like the driving tours. I like Christoph's. Ben Bilak has done a couple of them too. And it's just the different backgrounds and destinations, I think, is a lot more effective sometimes than just doing like an update video in the office.
And if that doesn't tell you that you don't need all the bells and whistles too, to like hit high numbers, and as long as value and content is put out there, like, I don't know what else will. Those driving tours, I've watched them and I'm like, holy crap, this was made 8 years ago on his cell phone and it's like kind of blurry, but it's over 1 million views. He's never paid for an ad on it. But you've read the comments too, and it's people just stating like, I learned so much from this. And I'm like, oh my God, why don't I put those out? So I shot them. They've just never seen the light of day.
Yeah. Put them out. Comment, put them out if you're still here.
Careful with that one, actually.
Yeah. Maybe never just comment. Yeah, release those videos.
Yeah, there we go. That's a little bit more PG. I got one more question here. So Florida, number one destination during the pandemic, right? Number one state in terms of inbound migration, I think, the last 2-3 years. What were you doing to capitalize on that? What sort of marketing were you putting out? Was it just like the hottest market of all time the last couple of years? Like you must have been loving it.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really put out any narrative like that. We're just real big on answering our phones and responding and replying to people. We have a good checks and balances system on this team. And I think what's unique to us is five of us on this team are native to Jupiter, and people think that's super rare. So I don't need to like put an address in Google Maps and find out where I'm going. Like we just know, right? So for us, our sales show through listing us as some of the top, you know, when you go to Zillow, Realtor, inbound calls like that, and past client referrals. Like, yeah, we got a whole bunch of people moving here, but we didn't put anything out in other states to tell them to utilize us. That's what you're at. Like, it was just.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, were you taking advantage of just, you know, the whole, like, Florida's open right now. Florida's the place to be. Here's the type of marketing you could do, but
it was on my list. And then the issue I found with all of that too is in our area, we don't have like a whole bunch of investor properties anymore that are affordable, that make true sense for an investor. So saying Florida's open, come buy stuff, those kind of messages I felt like got people saying like, all right, I got 200,000, where can I get it? And I'm like, you can't.
Right.
Like, so it's just, yeah, it was inbound, but it wasn't actually because of marketing, if I'm being honest.
Got it.
How long have you been growing your team for? Sorry, now I'm just interested. And how are you utilizing them? Because I notice a lot of the time that it's not just like the Erica show, like you really do utilize your team and it's like very collaborative.
Yeah. So I think one of our best moves is I hired during the pandemic. She's actually my cousin, but that's not why I hired her. She was living in Seattle and did relocation for like Visit Seattle. I'm hoping I can say that. I guess I can. No one told me I can't. And she would do like their managing and marketing. So she came back during the pandemic because they were shut down. And I was like, yeah, come work for me part-time and help. And she just like, we clicked, right? Like she was understanding what I was saying to do. She didn't ask me how to do it. She'd Google like everything like that. So I think having somebody have control over a lot of that took it out from me. And so she's able to reach out to the other girls or tell them because, you know, they're not going to just make content. You know, she has to have the photographer, the videographer say, I need this of this person or I need this of that person. So it wasn't all on me to be, you know, following up with leads, doing the marketing, doing all of that. She was essential in our business to help move it more towards that team energy that we have now.
Are you conscious about hiring like all women? Like no. If Eric came in and then, I mean, obviously Eric wouldn't.
I would really love women. Yeah.
Like Eric though, I mean. Like he wouldn't really fit the aesthetic.
Yeah. I guess it's the message we're putting out. I mean, yeah. Real estate, honestly, if you look at it, it's really is dominated by women. Not dominated, but there's a higher percentage of women in the industry, right? Like
55%.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's why. My biggest issue, and sorry, Jupiter people, if you're listening, there's a lot of people in our area. There's 61,000 agents in our MLS, and most of them are part-time or are just looking for a rich guy to marry. So they say they have a real estate license. So that's been our biggest struggle in finding agents that actually will work, right?
Right.
Like we're an in-office team. You're expected to use our CRM. You know, we have tasks and action plans for how a lead comes in. You're expected to do those things. Like you're expected to respond to your clients. You're expected to understand the market. And a lot of times it's really hard when they just want to be at the beach or on the boat, you know? So I would love to grow it more. And I think guys is a big part of the answer for us.
Man. Yeah. Maybe I'll move out to Jupiter.
Come move. Get a second home. Nice. I've been sending Brad McCollum videos and I'm like, here, look.
I know. I saw you do a listing video with him for his viral home tours. That was a great video.
Yeah. Cause Tila, I love his wife. Tila is amazing. And so I'm like, just, you know, buy a second home here. Come live here. Join the team.
Yeah. He's on pace where he'll certainly be able to do that. He is absolutely crushing it.
Yeah. And the hair is fantastic.
It is.
He's nothing without the hair.
I know. If he ever goes bald, I mean, I think his career is over.
Yeah, I'm going to be bald by the end of this podcast. I don't know. Every episode I keep looking up. It's like less and less. I don't know if it's this dress or this wedding or what's going on, but I'm going to just start wearing a hat.
Erica, how do you feel about Eric's hair?
I like Eric's
I think
hair.
It looks quite nice today. Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, I got that little stress about it.
Little Jimmy Neutron thing going on there.
Exactly. Erica, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Matt, why don't you ask the question that I always ask at the end so we could get Erica some more followers here.
Erica, where can the people find you?
Where can they see that video?
Yeah, where can they see that video and where can they find you?
So Wolf of Real Estate on all platforms, but it's Wolf with an E at the end. And I think you just type in Naked Home Tour. And
perfect.
It just pops up.
Depends what browser you type that
Hold
into.
Hold on. Are you the only... Now, there's been a couple before there's been a couple naked videos. Are you the only woman to real estate agent to ever be naked in a listing video? Is that like a stat you know? Cool.
But you guys know, I mean, I know we're ending it, but I wasn't really naked. I had on Spanx.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I would think. Yeah, you're not just.
Yeah, we asked David Frugia that too, and he was like, "Yeah, I had underwear on the entire time." But it's the perfect blurification where it, you know, leaves a little bit to be determined, basically.
Yeah, you'd have to. We didn't think you're just like, yeah.
Maybe that's how I one up it, guys. No.
Yeah, exactly. Just no blurs whatsoever. Same video, same house.
All right. Well, that's a good way to end it. Go check out Wolf of Real Estate on all platforms. E at the end of Wolf. Erica, thank you so much for being on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.